Lots of religions have rules about what you can and can't eat. We've just finished Easter, where many Christians don't eat meat for 40 days before. At the same time as Easter, Jews have celebrated Passover. And during Passover, they remove yeast, all the yeast from their homes, and they only eat unleavened bread. As well, they never eat pork and other foods. Muslims also don't eat pork and or drink alcohol, and they only eat meat that's been butchered in a certain way. And during Ramadan, they fast during the day and then feast at sunset. Many Hindus don't eat meat, or specifically don't eat beef. All sorts of religions do this. And many people follow these food laws because they believe that's how you please God, or that's how you're acceptable to God. But it's not just food. Each religion has a list of rules of other things that you have to do or not do for God to accept you. Marjorie mentioned some in the catechism question. Pray in a certain direction a certain number of times a day, or burn a certain type of incense, or go on a pilgrimage to a certain place, or pray a certain prayer like a magic formula hundreds of times, or attend a religious ceremony as often as you can. But in this passage, Jesus turns all of that upside down, or inside out. You see, Jesus isn't religious at all. He says that God's not impressed by what you eat or don't eat. And he quotes the prophet Isaiah, who was talking about the Jews of his time, 6 centuries before Jesus, and here's what God thought of their religion. "These people honour me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. They worship me in vain. Their teachings are but rules taught by men. They said the right words, they performed the right actions, but their hearts weren't in it. There wasn't genuine devotion to God." And Jesus says it's not just the people of Isaiah's time who were like that, but that Isaiah actually prophesied about the people of Jesus' time. They honoured God with their lips, but their hearts were far from God. And so their worship was in vain, a waste of time. It's shocking to think that well-meaning worshippers could be saying the right words, doing the right actions, but that none of it counts for anything. All the effort's wasted. Not only worthless, but it's damaging because Jesus calls them hypocrites. And it's shocking because that could be you. You're here this morning. You're saying words. You're doing actions. You're working hard to worship God. And yet, it could all be a waste. So how can you make sure that's not you? There's no more important question to answer than that one. Well, let's begin by looking at what starts the conversation. Back up in verse 1, some religious leaders notice that Jesus' disciples don't wash their hands before they eat. But it's not about hygiene. It's about religion. It's about being ceremonially clean. All the other Jews followed the religion, the tradition of the elders. Man-made rules about what you could and couldn't do. Things that made you clean and acceptable, or made you unclean and unacceptable. But rather than answer their question, Jesus points to some of their own rule-breaking. And not just breaking man's traditions, but God's commands. Verse 4, he says, "God says, honour your parents." Verse 5, "but you say something different." And he gives an example. "You say, make a vow that your savings are a gift devoted to God, and then nothing else can claim it. And then when your elderly parents look to you for support, you say, I'm poor, I haven't got any money. Everything is devoted to God. When that happens, you stand up for the child and say that's okay. You say it's more important to keep your vow than to honour your parents, to look after your parents. You make the human tradition more important than God's commands. Well, that's Jesus' accusation. And his judgment in verse 7 is, you hypocrites. They've come to Jesus concerned about the disciples not washing their hands. And they pretend that they're defending God's honour. And yet they're actually doing the opposite. They put human authority above God's authority. And so Jesus applies Isaiah's words to them. Their hearts are far from God. At their core, they're more interested in what people think than God. And Jesus doesn't want that sort of poison spreading. So he calls the crowd, verse 10, and he says to the crowd, listen, understand. What goes into a man's mouth doesn't make him unclean, but what comes out of his mouth, that's what makes him unclean. He's explaining Isaiah's quote. The Pharisees have got it wrong. They focus on being ritually clean on the outside. How you washed your hands, the food you ate. They didn't worry about what was on the inside, the heart. A person's motivations and devotion and love. That's what God notices. That's what makes someone unclean. A bit further down, Jesus explains it more. Verse 17. Whatever goes into your mouth goes through your stomach and through your body and out the other end. It doesn't do anything for your standing, your relationship with God. It doesn't affect your heart. But verse 18, he says, the things that come out of the mouth come from the heart. That's what makes a person unclean. For out of the heart comes evil thoughts. Murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false testimony, slander. These are what make a man unclean. Eating with unwashed hands doesn't make him unclean. Jesus says it's the heart that matters. Your behaviour, your words, your desires come from there. If your heart is unclean, everything that comes from your heart will be unclean. It won't matter what you eat or how you wash your hands. It's like having measles. Measles is caused by a virus. If you've got a virus in your body, it will produce spots on your skin and you'll get sick. You can't get better from measles by scrubbing the spots off or putting band-aids on the spots. The symptoms come from the virus that's inside. You need to be cured of the virus. And Jesus says it's like that with the human heart, with your human nature. It's sick. Your human nature produces all sorts of symptoms, sick actions, like murder, adultery, sexual immorality or theft, or sick words, false testimony, slander, even sick attitudes and desires. Evil thoughts like jealousy or greed or lust. The Pharisees, they had a small God, a God who only cared about washing hands and what's on the menu. But the reality is that he's a big God, who's God over everything, everything you do. His interest goes a lot deeper and is a lot broader. Obedience and uncleanness have suddenly become much bigger. The Pharisees thought being clean was simply about washing your hands or eating the right food. But Jesus says the problem is far greater. Being clean is far harder. So if you're sitting here this morning thinking that you're okay with God because you come to church every week, or you read your Bible and pray most mornings, or because you put money in the collection, or because you sponsor a child, or because you're a good person, or at least better than most people, then think again. Jesus says your worship is in vain. It's putting band-aids on measles spots. It's useless for fixing the disease. Jesus says, take a close look at your heart. Look at your nature. Look at your true nature. Not just the mask you put on to pretend to other people that you're nice. Take a close look at the way impatience and anger oozes out of you so easily. At a traffic jam or a small injustice, or when someone pushes in front of you, or when your plans don't work out. Take a close look at how strong your jealousy is for someone else's possessions, or job, or wife, or abilities. Notice how quick you are to retaliate when someone insults you or laughs at you. How strong the desire is to hurt. Notice how selfish and lazy and stubborn you are to help when you see the desperate needs of people around you. That's all coming from your natural sinful nature, your unclean heart. You can't fix that. You can't fix it by washing your hands or eating clean food or donating money. Unless you can clean up your heart, everything that comes out of you is going to be unclean. It's a terrible, unbeatable problem because it's impossible to clean your own heart. Cleaning your heart is as hard to do spiritually as it is physically. And that's where Jesus leaves it. He's posed the problem, but he hasn't really given an answer. He's described what makes someone unclean, and he's described what can't make them clean, but he hasn't told us what can clean our heart. And so we want to know the solution. We're asking the question, so what can we do about our unclean heart? Well, as we keep reading, Matthew answers it for us in the next few verses. The first section finishes with the problem of being unclean. The next section describes Jesus moving into an area that's full of things that are unclean. From verse 21, Jesus moves from Galilee, where the Jews are, into a Gentile region. And he meets a Canaanite woman, a non-Jew, who didn't eat the right food or wash her hands in the right way. In fact, she didn't do anything that the Jews said you needed to do to be clean. Which seems like a big problem for Jews, but she has other problems on her mind. Her daughter is suffering terribly from demon possession. Now, those of you who are mothers will know that you will do almost anything to relieve the suffering of your children. She comes to Jesus and she cries out, Lord, Son of David, have mercy on me. Jesus doesn't answer. He's heard her, but there's a test to be passed, a lesson to be learned. She keeps shouting. She won't stop. The disciples come up to Jesus, send her away, we're tired of the noise. Now, they probably intend for Jesus to heal the daughter before he sends the mother away. They've never seen Jesus turn anyone away before, so I think that is reasonable. It makes sense of what Jesus says next. Verse 24, I was sent only to the lost sheep of Israel, he says to them. In other words, my first audience is the Jews. They're the priority. I'm here to bring the kingdom of God to them, not to Gentiles, at least not at the moment. Maybe the woman overhears. But rather than discourage her and force her away, she comes up to Jesus. She comes closer and she kneels before him now. Lord, help me. Well, now Jesus speaks to the woman herself, and he says a similar thing to what he said to the disciples, but he uses a picture or a metaphor to say it. Verse 26, it is not right to take the children's bread and toss it to their dogs. In any household, you feed the family first, and then the pets get the leftovers. The children are the Jews, the dogs are the Gentiles. It's the Jews Jesus is ministering to. It's not meant to be an insult. It's just a matter of priority. Jews first, then Gentiles. Jesus is testing her. What sort of obstacles is she willing to push through? How strong is her faith? What's her reply? Verse 27. Yes, Lord, she said, but even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table. In other words, I'm not pretending to be part of the family. I don't deserve a seat. I don't need bread. Crumbs are enough. I'm happy with leftovers. Even crumbs can heal my daughter. And Jesus loves it. Woman, you have great faith. Your request is granted. And her daughter was healed from that very hour. That's the attitude to have. Faith that looks to Jesus in persistence and humility. She can't do it. Only Jesus can. And she won't give up until he does. And there's the answer to the problem raised by Jesus in the previous section about what to do with an unclean heart. You can't fix an unclean heart. It will always produce thoughts and actions that make you unclean. You can't fix your heart, but Jesus can. Only Jesus has the power to clean your heart, change your nature and your motivation, and give you a desire and a power to follow him and to produce the fruit that comes from a clean heart. Only Jesus can do that. He applauds the woman's faith. Her faith. It's not her persistence, he mentions. It's not her humility. It's her faith. Because her faith is where it begins. It's her faith God loves to see. Faith produces the fruit of persistence. Faith produces the fruit of humility. It begins on the inside and then works out. It's what the Pharisees got wrong. It's what lots of people today get wrong. Make sure that's not you. Don't focus on externals, because you may be worshipping God in vain. Look to Jesus, not to good works or ritual or food laws. Trust him. Focus on gratitude and humility. Only Jesus has the power to heal and cleanse and deliver. Only Jesus has the power to change your heart. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this picture of Jesus, full of compassion and power. We thank you for the picture of this woman who trusted him, who was humble and full of gratitude. May that be us. Lord, we can't cure our own hearts. We can't make ourselves better. We pray that you would be at work in us, changing our hearts, giving us the desire and the power to produce the fruit that pleases you, that our worship may not be in vain. Amen.